Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifley-Smith, a creative on a mission to make sure that the voices of women are heard. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired. We want to welcome River Savant on today's episode. She is joining us from Mongolia. River is 16 years old and has already set a world record as the youngest American female to summit Imja Say in the Nepal Everest region, which is 20,500 feet. And she is training to be the youngest American female to summit Mount Everest, which is scheduled for next May, June of 2025. We are so excited to have you on this episode, River. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so honored to be on this podcast.
You are very welcome, River. We're excited and we know we have so much to learn from you. The first question I have to ask is how and at what age did you become interested in mountaineering?
I did not grow up mountaineering. I grew up with a mom that was a cultural anthropologist, and her dream was she wanted to live in Nepal and India, and she led medical expeditions, and she was kind of just building up her life in India and the Himalayas before I was born. And then when I was old enough, she had taken me on some expeditions. And then after the earthquake in 2015 in Nepal, we moved over to Kathmandu to help out with humanitarian aid and just give back the love and comfort that I feel was lost during that time. That's when Nepal happened and started this whole other journey in our lives. And we started leading trips to help out with humanitarian aid and just bring people from all over the world to build earthquake-proof houses and sponsor schools. And we added an Everest Base Camp trip to our company and our expeditions, as well as Annapurna Base Camp. We had just kind of evolved into more of a trekking company. And so this is what we do more now currently. I was asked by my mom in 2022 to go on the Everest Base Camp trip representing the company because my mom was not able to go that year. And I was able to take the time off from school. So I said, okay, I'll do it. Fine. We had not been back to Nepal in 3.5 years due to COVID. So going back in 2022, alone, especially being able to have, I guess, my first alone feeling there and going there for the first time by myself was very incredible. And I latched very hard onto Nepal. The trek was amazing. And I felt spiritually just incredible after that. And it had brought back memories of when I did the Annapurna Base Camp trek when I was 9. And
wow,
I was so in love. And I just, the main thing was that I just really wanted more of it. I was not ready. I was not done when it was over. So the main idea that kind of started the whole mountaineering thing was, what if I go higher? Like, what if I just try more? What if I do it longer? And I wanted to push my limits, you know, I wanted to see how far. I kind of felt like, well, now I've done Everest Base Camp, so how much further can I go? Like, why don't I just go up the rest of the mountain at this point?
Describe the Everest Base Camp.
The trek?
You said you went to the Everest Base Camp. Right?
But yes.
What is that like? What is that place like?
It's sort of like this village of tents. It's like, I think Everest Base Camp is a mile long. So there's different trekking companies with their teams, and there's cooking tents, and it basically just looks like a little village, but it's made out of yellow tents for a mile. It's located beneath the Khumbu Icefall, which is the first step in summiting Mount Everest. That's you leave Everest Base Camp and you start up the Khumbu Icefall and make it to Camp 1. And that's sort of where that begins from Everest Base Camp. There's a whole trek to get to Everest Base Camp for it. But I've never stayed at Everest Base Camp. That is for the Everest season. So when we take our teams up to Everest Base Camp, what we usually do is we stay in Gorakshep, which is a village 2.5 hours away from Everest Base Camp. That final day reaching base camp is, we trek to Gorakshep through the glacier and put our bags down, rest, eat lunch, and then we take the team for another 2-hour trek. During off season, it's just the rock that says Everest Base Camp and then the elevation. There are no tents there during that time, but it's still incredible. You can see the beginning of the Khumbu Icefall and it's so beautiful.
Wow. What was it like to grow up in that way? And how has that made you the person that you are at this point in your life?
It really made me who I am today because I've learned survival skills and just how to adapt. I think one of the most important lessons I learned from my mom was just adapting to anything, to any situation, and just how to deal with that. And I think that's so important. Growing up this way, I have had to do that a lot between just missing flights and not being able to communicate, not knowing just how countries work and having to figure it out all on our own. I think that was a very, very good thing for me to grow up watching my mom do these incredible things in insanely foreign countries just inspired me to my core. Also, being able to think in many, many different ways and to put yourself in other people's shoes. So now I will carry that with me my whole life, and especially going to college soon. That's a whole other journey on my own. So all of these skills that I've learned thus far, I will be so, so grateful for when I go off to college, because I have all these skills and these life lessons and things that I know already. And I'm so grateful for them because of my mom and because of the way she's raised me.
You are in Mongolia now, and I would imagine that for even our most traveled listeners, Mongolia is a place they've not visited. So why are you there?
We're here because my mom accepted a teaching position at the English School of Mongolia, and we are in Ulaanbaatar, the capital right now, and we just love it. It's the perfect city vibe and feeling, but it's so clean, and so quiet. I think it's perfect, and I'm so happy to be here.
So you are currently training to summit Mount Everest right now, or will you be beginning that soon?
I have been training. Imjase was a training peak, but also I had a Sherpa guide with me that was teaching me the skills to use on Everest. He was an Everest trainer as well. So I got a lot of use out of that climb, a lot of preparation and a lot of skills. So that was most of my high altitude training, and most, I guess, hardcore training is in Nepal. And that's in, Imjatse, the mountain, or Mara Peak, or just Everest Base Camp, doing it a couple times. So that's where most of that training is in Nepal. But we were just living in Malaysia, and I met a 3-times Everest summiter, and we had meetings together, and now we've built up a friendship, and I was calling him the whole time I was in Nepal, and he summited Everest representing Malaysia, and he now has a Malaysian Everest summiting team that he trains in Malaysia, and he has offered me to be a part of that team. So there are no big, big mountains in Malaysia, but they do have some hills in Kuala Lumpur and outside of Kuala Lumpur city. So he takes the team up into the hills and they do training for 5 days straight. And then they have a week break and then they do it again. And This team is setting out for Everest in 2026. I have been training with them, and he's been very kind at offering me the opportunity to do that, especially because I'm not Malaysian. That's my schedule currently. And then the upcoming season in Nepal is in October, and we have more Everest Base Camp trips going, and I will be the guide of those also. So that's kind of what my training looks like. It's all of it's in Nepal, mostly trekking and climbing. And then outside of Nepal, we're either in Malaysia or Thailand, and I guess in this case, Mongolia now. My main focus right now is school, as I'm still catching up from my time off from Arapeak, but I'm working as much of the training in as I can right now before I go home for the summer.
So how do you do school?
Well, I'm online currently. I've been online for almost a year with my high school in North Carolina. And they don't typically do that, but my school has supported me so much, you know, in my climbing journey. And before, even when I had just left to do Everest Base Camp, I came back and everyone was so supportive. And I'm also doing a dual enrollment program. So I'm taking two college classes and two classes from my high school. That's currently what I've been doing, is catching up.
With what you're doing, you know, if you find yourself ever doubting or feeling like, I don't know if I could do this, what are the things, the truths that you remind yourself to keep going?
I think that the thing of what I'm doing is bigger than me, you know, doubting myself and telling myself I can't do it, because that's exactly what I'm trying to get out into the world, is that, you know, as many times as you may doubt yourself, it's so important that you remember your dream. Like, this is the reason you're doing it, the passion you have, the reasons, the people that are pushing you, and the things like that are going to get you to the top of the mountain are so much more important than thinking that you're not capable, because most likely you are, and even more capable than you think you are. So I tell myself all the time that I have such a strong support system in Nepal, our family there and at home, just my mom. And she is, you know, part of the reason why I'm doing this and why I can do this, because first of all, I'm just here because of her, but also she's just the reason for every single thing in my life and for everything that I want to do. I want to give it back to her as much as I can. Also, I circle back to the main reason I decided to do this in the first place was just because I love it. I have such a passion for it. Just to see, you know, the sunrise, that very first sunrise on the mountain is enough, honestly, to get me up there again. It's just so beautiful. And it's such a dream of mine. I would like to be an inspiration to women and girls and dreams in general. And, you know, I can't do that without doing my own dream. So that's the main sort of source that all of that comes from.
Because of the support of so many people, including your wonderful mother, you've been able to just have this confidence within yourself to achieve these great heights, because they're really great heights you know, just in the way that you speak about it, you have found your own voice in just sharing your passion. And so, you know, how can we all, those of us who are listening, but those of even the women and those girls that you're inspiring, how can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
We can lead by example and follow our dreams, and we can support each other and encourage each other instead of competing. We can offer compassion and understanding. And I think most importantly is that we can listen to each other, because, you know, that's all we really need is to be heard. And for some women, that's not the case. Some women, they don't have a voice, and some women are belittled and, you know, along with their dreams, and it's not fair. And I want women to know that it's so important to speak your truth and stand up for yourself and your dreams and your passions and goals. Anyone can and should follow their dreams. And it doesn't matter where or who they are or the obstacles that are in their way. Our dreams as a collective, as women, our dreams are not just aspirations. They're seeds of change. And they're capable of transforming not only our lives, but also the world around us. And it's so important that we use our voices and fight, not just for what we believe in, but for each other as well.
So inspired by you, River. Just so grateful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, and you're recognizing at such a young age too, that it's just not about you only, and that you are truly impacting so many lives by just being brave and courageous. Thank you so much for being with us on this episode. And to our listeners, as always, we hope that you've been inspired by this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
River, I add my huge thanks as well for being such an inspiration to women everywhere. And I love your message encouraging us all to dream big. I also thank your mom, Crystal Savant, who connected us, which we're so grateful to her. Yodit, you inspire me every day, truly. And we send out thanks also to Lisa DeJavine, who is the co-producer and editor of the Power of Stories podcast. River, is there any other thought you would like to leave with our listeners?
I have a GoFundMe that is dedicated to my fundraising for this epic adventure. And it is the youngest American female to summit Mount Everest. I'm so, so grateful to have been on this podcast with you guys. And thank you so much for having me.
We invite you, our listeners, to visit sayitforward.org and to share one or more of your stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories others have shared. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifley-Smith signing off for now and hoping you'll join us next time. If you enjoyed this episode, we hope you'll recommend The Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.